Good morning, everybody. This Shabbos is Parshas Kisavo. The Parsha begins with a din of Bikurim. The Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvahs points out that the Rambam and many others count Bikurim as two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah of Havoas Bikurim, one mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. They recite the Parsha of Arami Avidavi. Why did they decide to count these as two different mitzvahs is a bit problematic. The Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs develops a klal that tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh count as two different mitzvahs. Some Rishonim disagree. They count it as one mitzvah. And the Rambam thinks that the two different mitzvahs, because the Mishnah says, and Menachos Ha'ein Akvim Zezeh, shel yad is not ma'akim shel rosh, and shel rosh is not ma'akim the shel yad. Because neither is ma'akim the other one. As opposed to dalan minim shebelulav, that the Mishnah says, are really one mitzvah. It's not two different mitzvahs. So here, there are people who may be the enikori. The Mishnah in the beginning of Bikurim lists off those who have an obligation to bring the Bikurim, but they don't recite Arami Abedabi. So since the Makvim Zezeh, so that's why the Rambam and many others counted it as two distinct mitzvahs. But it's not really at all the same Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, because here you can't have Mikra Bikurim without Havas Bikurim. So maybe over here should really be counted as one mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to bring Bikurim. The mitzvah Bishlei Musa is fulfilled by most of the people who not only bring Bikurim, but they recite Arami Avid Avi also. And some people cannot fulfill the mitzvah Bishlei Musa, so they fulfill Shalom Bishlei Musa. So true, the Havas Bikurim, the mitzvah of Havas Bikurim exists without the Mikra Bikurim, but the Mikra Bikurim doesn't exist without Havas Bikurim. It's not at all the same Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. So one could argue the point and say that it should really be counted as one mitzvah. The Mishnah in Bikurim has the din that a ger is maybe the enikar. A ger is chayv to observe all the mitzvahs that everybody else is obligated to bring, to do. But the ger is maybe the enikar because when you recite the ger is not a biological descendant of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So how can he make such a statement? So similarly, when the ger davens Shmona Esrei, he can't say Lakeinu, Lakei Avraham, Lakei Avraham, Lakei Yitzchok, Lakei Yaakov, because he's not a biological descendant of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And when he says I can't say Shosan Nisim Labaseinu. He has to say Mikra Bikurim. He doesn't do it all, because if you're going to say half a parsha, leave out a pasuk, that's Shalok Kichsavai. So you can't just delete a pasuk. And Lakeinu Lakei Abaseinu. Instead of that, you should say Lakeinu Lakei Avos Yisrael, the God of the forefathers of the Jewish people. And when you say Shosan Nisim Labaseinu, you should say Shosanism Lavos Yisrael B'yamavayim Zmanazeh. Then there's the Yerushalmi quotes the Tana Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Mishnah. He says no, that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Avraham Avinu's name from Avram to Avraham, and Avraham means Av Hamangoyim Nisaticha, means that Avraham Avinu was the founding father of the Jewish religion. And not only is it true regarding Avraham, it's true regarding Yitzchak and Yaakov as well. That's already a question. How did Rabbi Yehuda know that even Yitzchak and Yaakov were also considered the founding fathers of the Jewish people? Only Avraham Avinu's name was changed to Avraham. So the Nitziv in his commentary on Chumash discusses that. Where did the Tanaim see that? So that's a machlokes in Bava Basra and Daf Pei Aleph. The Gemara has a little bit, some dinim about Bikurim. So Tosfos was there, has a machlokes, I think, the Rina, Rabbi Natan, whether we should pass on like the Mishnah, we should pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. In Shulchan Aruch, it's famous that they quote the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, and the Rambam in the Tshuva to Rabbeinu Avadya Hager, that the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda, against the Stam Mishnah. Rambam paskens like the Yerushalmi b'shem Rabbi Yehuda, that the ger can be vikore, and the ger says shosan nisman abaseinu, and the ger when he davens Shemon Esrei, he says the regular nusach. The pasuk says when the person brings the bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, So the Talmidei HaGra quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, it appears in that Deres Aliyah on Chumash, and then it appears on Deres Aliyah on Mishnayos Bikurim, that the Vilna Gaon said this pasuk v'hishtach v'isa is not really part of the mitzvah Bikurim. It's a general din, a universal din, kol hanichnasim la'azara. Whoever enters the azara for whatever purpose has to be mishtachaveh. So that's why this line is repeated quite a few times in Mishnayos Tamid. It says in the Mishnayos that they used to have a payas every day. They had four payasas. And the Beis HaMikdash, they had like a lottery, a hagrola, to determine which kohen has the right to shech the Tom Shal Shachar, who's going to do Kabbalah Saddam, who's going to do Halacha Saddam, who's going to do Zrika Saddam, and who's going to do the Haktorah Seymurim, who's going to be Malei Ivron Lakevish, and so on. So each time a person does the avoda that he won in the lottery, in the hagrola, so it says he does his avoda, hishtachva v'yotza. That's a recurrent expression that appears quite a few times in the Mishnah's Talmud. That's what we spoke about on Yom Kippur in the Nusach Ashkenaz of the Seder Aveda. It says the Kohen Gadol does Aveda all day long, and it never says that he does any Heshtachva. And the Nusach Svar, it does say, at the end of the day, he's Mishtachva before he leaves. So Rav Soloveitchik printed a whole Dvar Torah. He wrote a Dvar Torah to his father, who was in America. He was in Europe at the time. And his father gave it to the YU publication at that time, that they printed a Y according to the Nusach Ashkenaz. There's no Hishtachva V'yotza on Yom Kippur. Because that should be, that seems to be a universal din. They call HaNechnas and Lazar have to have Hishtachva before they leave. Bikurim only applies, Rashi quotes in the Mishnah, Bikurim only applies to Chameshis Mini Dogon, only applies to the Shivas Aminim. So two of the Shivas Aminim, Eretz Chita Sora, we get from the Taina Verimain, Chita Usora. So there's a Gemara in Imsochem Adat Lamenei, the Gemara says, Kusman Shibor L'Shul Shipon are the other three of the Chameshis Mini Dogon. And the Gemara says, there are subcategories of Chitim and Saorim. So that's a question, how to read. There's a Taisus there in Psochem Adat Lamed Vavam base, but Taisus has a certain Kasha. So there are two ways to read the Taisus. The right way and the wrong way. So Rabbi Kivega Mishnayis Bikurim, when the Mishnah says Bikurim is only Noig B'Shivas Aminim, so Rabbi Kivega Mishnayis quotes the Bnei Yeshua. Bnei Yeshua was in the 1700s, Rabbi Kivega was in the early, a little later, the early 1800s. Rabbi Kivega quotes the Bnei Yeshua who understood in Taisvus, either understood or misunderstood, who understood Pshat in Taisvus, that you only bring Bikurim from Chita Misarim, you don't bring from Kusman Shibod Shul and Shipa. And others disagree. Other Achranim disagree. They say it's not true that since these are subcategories, Kus Mishbol Shol Shipa, not subcategories of Chita Masorim, so all of the Chameshis Minei Dogan are included in Shibas Aminim. There's an Esik, the Mogen Abram, talks about this issue. The Gemara says that based on that Pasuk, Chita Masor, Eretz Chita Sari Gefer and Tein Avirim, and Eretz Eishem and Dvosh, that if you have a few fruits, which and you're interested in tasting all of them, which fruit should you say a bracha on first? So the Gemara says, "Kol kodim a bracha is kodim, kol kodim a pasuk is kodim le bracha." So the question is, does that only apply to chit and mizorim? Does it apply also to kusma, shibod, shol, and shipon, which are subcategories of chit and mizorim? So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. After the Parsha Bikurim, then you have the Parsha Vidui Maiser. Vidui Maiser is Erev Pesach of this 7-year cycle, the Shemitah cycle. So Erev Pesach of the 4th year and Erev Pesach of the 7th year of the Shemitah year, the farmer recites Vidui Maiser if it's true. He says, B'yarti HaKadosh Mekam Nesatu V'Lalevi, if it's true, he gave it to the Levi and so on. In the Baisheni period, Ezra made a penalty that you don't, there are two versions, the Gemara Ksubis and the second parak has two versions of what the penalty was. Either the penalty was that you never give Maaser Rishon to the Levi, you only give it to the Kohanim, or that you're permitted to give it to the Levi or to the Kohanim. Mora seems to say it depends. What was the din deraisa? That's machlekes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Loza, and Azaria. What was the din deraisa before Ezra made the penalty? B'chav tala mekaymis, the Gemara has in different places. There are 24 places in Tanakh. B'chav tala mekaymis nikru kohanim levim, because the kohanim belong to Shevet Levi. But the kohanim don't have kedushas Levi. That's the Tosis points at the end of Chorus. Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have kedushas Levi. So the question is, when the Torah says that you give Maaserishin to the Levi, does that mean you give it to the Levi who's a member of Shevet Levi? So in the Torah, you can fulfill the mitzvah of giving Maaserishin by giving to a Kohen also. I think that's Rav Loza ben Azaria. Rabbi Akiva holds, no, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. You only yotze the mitzvah deraisa if you give the Maaserishin to a Levi. You give it to a Kohen, you're not yotze. Even though B'chav Tal becomes Nikro Kohanim Levim, yeah, the Kohen belongs to Shevet Levi, but he doesn't have Kedushas Levi. So that's Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rav Loza ben Azaria. Is the mitzvah to give Maaserishin to one who is a member of Shevet Levi, or the mitzvah is to give Maaserishin to one who has Kedushas Levi? So if the din deraisa was before Ezra made a penalty, Ezra brought the Jewish people back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael to complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash and to be makir karbonus. So the psukim say in the Sefer Ezra that on his way back to Eretz Yisrael, he tried to calculate how many Levim there are. So there weren't enough Levim to run a whole Beis HaMikdash. The whole purpose of returning to Eretz Yisrael was to bring karbonus on the Beis HaMikdash. So there weren't enough Levim to bring karbonus. He told everybody to stop by a certain river, and he went back to Babel to schlep more Levim. So because the Levim were negligent, there weren't enough Levim to run all Beis HaMikdash. So that's why Ezra penalized the Levim. So what was the nature of the penalty? So the Gemara understands the penalty is not really explicit in Tanakh. Tosis points out the whole thing was a tradition that the Gemara has. So the Gemara in second parak and Ksubis. So the way Tosis reads the Gemara says if the din would have been like Rav Loza ben Azaria, that Minatari Yotze by giving Maaserishin either to a Kohen or to a Levi, so then the penalty of Ezra was that you only give it to a Kohen. But if the din Minatari is that you only Yotze Maaserishin if you give it to a Levi, so then with the Rabban and Ezra made a penalty. He said he allows you to one Maiga off from what the din deraisa used to be, he allows you to give the Maaserishin to a Kohen. You don't necessarily have to give it to a Levi. So the Gemara says that once Ezra made that penalty, how can they say, if you're only going to give it to the Kohen, you're not giving to the Levi. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah. So from that time on, you can't recite Vida Maaseh anymore because it's not true. Then he said, lo shachachti means lo shachachti milavarechacha. Rashi on Chumash quotes the Mishnah in I think it's the end of Maaseh Sheni, when it has the mitzvah vidai maaseh. Lo shachachti milavarecha. It's very strange. The Achronim more bothered with the kasha. All bichas hanenin is only the Rabbanim. Bichas hamitzvah is only made the Rabbanim. There's such a Yerushalmi bichas haTorah, we assume. That's what Shagas Aryeh quotes. Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs points out that Birchas HaTorah is deraisa. Okay, but doesn't necessarily follow that all Birchas HaMitzvahs is also deraisa. So we usually assume not so. We usually assume Birchas HaMitzvahs is only made the Rabbanim. There's such a passage in the Yerushalmi that there are psukim and chumash where it says HaTorah v'HaMitzvah, one next to the other. So maybe Yerushalmi seems to imply that there's a hekesh between them. Just like there's a pasuk in chumash, it indicates that you're obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah Min HaTorah. So maybe based on that hekesh, you're obligated to recite Birchas HaMitzvah Min HaTorah also. But we don't really pass on like that. We assume that Birchas HaTorah is the Raisa. Birchas HaMitzvah is only the Rabbanah. So what do you mean, Lo Shachachti Milavarechacha? I didn't forget to recite the Bracha. We're talking Psukim in the Chumash. On the level of the Raisa, there's no such thing. You're not mechuyev to recite the Birchas HaMitzvah. I can say, Lo Shachachti Milavarechacha. So the Mishkan is Yankev has a suggestion in his Sefer on Brachas that's called Koheles Yankev. In the back of the Koheles Yankev, he has Chubas that were, for some reason or another, were not included in the Mishkan is Yankev. Maybe they were written later. I don't know. You have to check the dates. But the first half of the Sefer is on Brachas and on different Gemaras and Seder Moed. Very beautiful Sefer. He comes up with a big Chiddush that the bracha on hafrashas truma in Ma'aser Sheni, because Truma has Kedusha, Ma'aser Sheni has Kedusha. So therefore, a Birchas HaMitzvah is the Raisa, but it has to do with Kedusha. Why does he know? Because the Pasuk says when Shaul lost the Asonos and he was looking for them, so he met the girls and the girls told him, he asked, where's the Navi? So they said, the Navi's going to come, Hu Yivarches HaZevach. He's going to say a bracha when he eats the Karbonos. He's going, when he shechts the Karbonos, and makrid the Karbonos. So it would appear from the Pasuk that there was always a Birchas HaMitzvah and a Yoni Kedusha in connection with Karbonos. And the same thing, the Medrash says that Eliezer took Asar Gmalim, Gmale Adonov. Why did he take Asar Gmalim? So the Medrash says because he wanted to have a minion of 10 people. Each Gomel had a rider on it. He wanted to have a minion to be able to recite the Birchas Harrison. Because he was going to be Mekadosh. Eliezer was somehow a Shlich, Likidush, and a Mehef of Yitzchok. He was going to be Mekadosh the girl. He was going to bring the girl back to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have Nisuan in person. He's not going to be a shliach for Nisun, but he was a shliach for the Erisin. The Erisin is in, there's an element of Kedusha that's introduced into their lives when they get married. So apparently there was an old concept of reciting brachas in connection with Inyane Kedusha. So that's what the Kohelus Yankif, written by the Mishkan Zang, does. He thinks, Lo shachachti milavarechacha, the bracha and afrashas truma and afrashas ma'aser sheni, because these two have kedusha, that there always was a bracha. It's a big chiddush. Yeah, the pasuk here has lo bi'artan menu bitomei, and lo achalta bi'oni mimenu. Anoinen is not permitted to eat ma'aser sheni. We know it from this pasuk. And when Aaron HaKohen was anoinen, and Moshe Rabbeinu got upset, madu ala achalta mesachatos. Why didn't they eat the soy rosh chodesh? So Aaron made a kal v'chomer. Madach ma'aser sheni has a little bit of kedusha. It says la'achal tabi'oni mimenu, the pasuk. So kal v'chomer hegdish karbonos. For sure, you're not allowed to eat in a state of anina. So Moshe Rabbeinu was maskim with the kal v'chomer, and the Chumash records it. It first started off as a kal v'chomer as a chunk of Torah Shabbat Pet. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to record it in the Chumash. So it was elevated to the level of Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav, slightly more chomer than Torah Shemalpeh. But the whole bracha, the whole halacha begins with this pasuk by Vida Maisa that it says, La'achal tabi'oni mimenu. So that's the Vida Maisa. The farmer has to recite if it's all true. If it's all true, if he really fulfilled all of these mitzvahs. The Gemara has some of the dinim of Vida Maisa and Perek Elu Ne'amorim. The first half of Sota, the first 30 blot or so, have all the dinim of Sota. And then the second half around Daf Lamed, so Daf Chavtes, Daf Lamed, starts Perek Elu Ne'amorim. It's easier topics. It's like learning brachas again. So the Mishnah lists off which mitzvahs have to be, which mitzvahs of Amira and Kriya have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew and which can be fulfilled in translation. So Kriya Shema is a machlokes hatanoim, and it speaks there about brachas haklalos, hagris ma'arevo had to be in Hebrew, and duchening has to be in the original Hebrew, and by chalitza has to be in the original Hebrew. The Yivamim, even though the kriyas ha'psukim is not miyake, but they have to be able to pronounce the words. So you have to, even if they're not going to say the psukim, we always insist they should practice a few times to be able to recite the psukim. But even if they're not going to recite the psukim, they have to be, it has to be royal bila. Then in bila me'akev is, but if the person is not royal, let's say a cherish ain't a medaber. Person can't speak, or he can speak, but he can't pronounce lo chafatzti lekach. They can't pronounce a ches. He's going to pronounce it like a hey, lo chafatzti lekach. So he can't perform the chalitza. Have to be at least royal kriyas apsukim. So here the Gemara says that when the Gemara has one of the dinim avide meiser, the beginning of the it's a question that the mefarshim on the Mishnah says. Why did the Mishnah refer to it as vidui meiser? Vidui usually admit that you're guilty of doing some avera. You're moida. Otherwise, but then you admit that you did an avera. Here he breaks. He says. The Arti HaKadosh Min Abayis, I gave away Gamnesat El Alei, V'lagel Yosman Mani, I gave away Maiserani, Asis G'cholot Shetziv Yisani, he did all the mitzvahs properly. He's bragging. Why is it called Vidui? That's a major problem. Why is it called Vidui? Some Rishonim had the Girsa in the Mishnah. We have the Girsa that's Mikra Bikurim. Other Rishonim had the Girsa Vidui Bikurim. Why in the world should that be Vidui Bikurim? How do they understand the word Vidui? That's a question. Kalpanim, the Gemara in Eilu Nevarim has a comment that when the farmer recites, it says, the Amnisa Lamata Lefnesham Lakecha, how does it say? The Amata Lefnesham Lakecha, Biyati Akkadish Menabah, how do you translate Lefnesham Lakecha? So that's it's interesting. Machlok is the Rambam and the Raivin on such a fundamental issue should have been a discussion in Tanaim. We don't have any earlier source. Machlok is the Rambam and the Raivin, what it means, you amarta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, the demaisa has to take place in the Beis HaMikdash. Lefnei Hashem Elokecha means the location where you recite it. Or lefnei Hashem Elokecha, you're speaking like when we daven Shmona Esrei, we daven lefnei Hashem Elokeinu. So wherever we daven in New Jersey, we daven in New York, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rambam should have been some earlier source, but we don't have any earlier sources. So the Gemara says when the farmer recites what we call the Vidui Maaser, so the first part he sort of says that he's breaking. I did all the mitzvahs, then when he gets to Hashkifa, then he's no longer saying that he did the mitzvah. So the Gemara says the first few psukim, he says, "Bekol namuch." He should say softly. He shouldn't say out loud. I fulfilled all the mitzvahs. Lo shachachti, lo achalta b'yodimena, lo b'yodimena b'tami. When he gets to hashkifa, that he can say out loud. So that's why there's a meaning by Ges Ator, when the Balkori lanes, so he lanes the first few psukim in a normal tone of voice. And when he gets to the pasuk Hashkifa, Yom Kachacha, that he says in a louder voice, reminiscent of the fact that when the farmer recites the Vidur Meiser on Erev Pesach of the 40th and Erev Pesach of the 7th year, he would say Hashkifa, Yom Kachacha, in a louder voice.
Rabbi, where is the machloket between the Rambam and the Ravad?
I didn't look it up. I think it's in Hilchos Maaser Sheni. When the Rambam quotes all the dinim, I think that's where he quotes the dinim of Vidui Maaser. I think so. Then the Torah has the din. When they cross over the Yarden, Hakmasal Chavon Gedol Hasar Tos Masid, they should write called Dibra Torazos Ravracha Bayer Hey Teif. They should write it. Rashi quotes the Mar B'Shivim Loshon, means you should make Torah Shebichsav available for all of the Umas HaOlam. The Gemara says you're not allowed to teach Torah to the Nochem. That only goes on the Torah Shabbat Pet, apparently, but the Torah Shebichsav. The Rebbeinu Shlom wanted that they should write it B'Shivim Loshon to make it available to everybody. By Erhetev. Then after they crossed over the Yarden, they had to go to Hagriz Maharev, have the brochas and klolos recited. So six of the Shvatim were on Hagriz, and six of the Shvatim were on Haarev, and the Levim were Bemtsa. So the Levim first said, we in the Chumash only have the 11 Arurim, but the Gemara learns that from the Pesukim. First they said Baruch, Baruch Hashem. What was the first one? Baruch Hashem lo yaseh pesach lemaaseicha to'avos Hashem. And everybody said Amen. Then it said Arush sheyaseh pesach lemaaseicha. Everybody said Amen. Each one of the 11 Arurim was first recited by the Levim. They called Ram, Beloshen HaKadosh, Beloshen Bracha, and everybody said Amen. Then they said Beloshen Klala, and they said Amen. This is the 11 Brachas, the Klala, and Hagrizim, and Harevo. I remember once Rav Soloveitchik was discussing a topic in the Yartzeit Roshim that Rashi and Taisis quote from the Baal HaLachas Gedolos that if one is in the middle of Shmona Esrei and the Chazan is already up to Kiddushin and Chazaras HaShatz, or they're up to Kriyas HaTorah and someone saying Baruch HaShem Amvarach, so the Gemara says you're not permitted to be mapsik in the middle of Shmona Esrei even for Omen Yehesh Meirabah. There was one opinion in the Gemara, but it's not accepted, that Aliyas Omen Yehesh Meirabah to Kaddish is so important, you're even allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Tfilah Belachas, in the middle of Shmona Esrei, to say Amen Yehesh Meirabah. So the Gemara says we don't pasken like that. But then if you already finished, why do we not pasken like that? Because we have a drasha, v'dibarta bam v'loy betrila. V'dibarta bam, what does it mean v'dibarta bam? It's a tesis in Yuma, Yutes and Beis, is such a tesis in Brochus also. But in Yuma, they quote from the Yerushalmi, v'dibarta bam, Pashup Shat means you should talk and learning. So the Yerushalmi has an additional level of interpretation. V'dibarta bam, you're permitted to be mapsik. You're obligated to be mapsik in the middle of creation, b'nei akov and b'nei ayira. When Adam Kosher comes in, so you're allowed to be mapsik to say good job, shalom aleichem, good morning, something like that. The Mishnah Berurah says that his man is that we don't do it, because everybody knows that this din, everybody's familiar with the din that you're in the middle of creation, so you're not mapsik. But strictly speaking, there always used to be such a din on the books. In the Mishnah, it says, the mapsik in the middle of Kriyashma, mipnei akov and mipnei ayira. And the mapsik is a tanaim, a mayor of Yudah, to what extent are you permitted to be mapsik mipnei akov, and to what extent are you permitted to be mapsik mipnei ayira? So that's how the Yerushalmi darshans with the Barta Bum, you're permitted to be mapsik with Dvarim Telem in the middle of Kriyashma, but with darshan with the Barta Bum, loy betfila, middle of Shemana Esri, you're not allowed to be mapsik. You're not permitted to be mafsik. So that's why we passed that even on an Yeheshmei Rabu, which is such an important aniyah, there was such an opinion that one is permitted to be mafsik in the middle of Tefillah Balach, Shteyes, on an Yeheshmei Rabu. We don't pass like that. But after he finished already, Dushman Ha'esri said, Baruchas HaMitzvah B'Sholom, he said, Yil L'Rotzen Imreifi, so officially he finished. Then you say, Elokai Nitzor Dushan Imreiro, that's Tachnun Imachat Tefilosai. So that, the Rishonim say then, this Gzeres HaKasson no longer applies. So some are of the opinion, okay. So then you're permitted to say, Omen Yeheshmei Rabba, only Yeheshmei Rabba, not the answer after the Elim B'Kol B'Chasa B'Shiros, and not the answer Bohu, and not the answer Kedusha, not the answer Kodesh and Baruch. We don't follow that opinion. We hold that after you finished already, and Baruchas Hamisa Bashan, after you finished already, the Tefillah Balachash, and just holding back Tochnun and Machat Tefillosai, so you are permitted even to answer Baruch and Kaddish and Kedusha. All the Dvarim should be Kedusha. You're allowed to answer. So the what if a person is in the middle of Shemana Esrei and the Chazan is ready up to Kaddish or Kedusha or something? So there's the Rashi and there's a quote from the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. That Shemir Kaina, he should pay attention to the Chazan. If the Chazan says the first pasuk out loud, other Rishonim disagree. Tosfos asks on the Bahag, what does it help if you say Shemir Kaina and by paying attention to the Chazan saying Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch, Kvod Hashem and Komo, you're being Yotze the Mitzvah Kedusha by listening. Then it should be a hefsek. He didn't say anything. You're not supposed to be yotze another mitzvah in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. Shake a lulav in the middle of Shemana Esrei. We shake a lulav in the middle of Hallel because shaking a lulav blends in with the Hallel. We blow shofar in the middle of Shemana Esrei because blowing the shofar enhances the tefillah. So that's not a hefsek. But to be yotze a different mitzvah in the middle of Shemana Esrei, even without speaking, to be yet to the mitzvah of Kedusha, that itself is a hepsik. So that's what Tosfos, that's what you see from, that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed, that you see from the Tosfos. Tosfos says the kasha mimanabshach. If Shemaya ka'ayna and you yet to Kedusha, then it's a hepsik in the middle of the Shemaya, even though you're not saying a word. And if you don't say Shemaya ka'ayna, so what did you accomplish by pausing? So may as well continue to daven. In Breuers, I think they have the minik from Frankfurt, this that the Chazan does not say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh out loud. Doesn't say Baruch Kvod Hashem Mekom out loud because they go with the sheet that it's a hefsek. They go with Tosfos Kasha. But the minhag olam usually is like the Bahag, that you pause and you listen. You pause and you listen. So we usually assume Shemeh Kohena. Shemir Kohena is a real din deraisa. You yotze Kiddush and Abdullah with Shemir Kohena. Let's say someone says Kiddush and I answer Amen. Because the Gemara has a klal, Kol Ha'ayin Ami Ki L'Hotzi Bracha Mipiv Dami. What if I didn't answer Amen? I paid attention to the bracha from the beginning to the end. Then I say Shemir Kohena. If I paid attention from the beginning to the end, I understand Hebrew and I know what he said. So it's considered as if I said, Amen. So Rashi gets the kasha when he's giving this shiur on this topic. He said from the Rambam, the Hagos Maimini points out from the Rambam is mashma he doesn't agree with the Bahag. Rambam seems to hold in the middle of tefillah balachas you don't pause to be yotze with shemekana. Why not? Why not? So Rashi pointed out, it says v'yanu kol yamru amen. Keeps on saying after the 11 brachas to call, everybody said amen. So Rashi guess, why do you have to say amen? The din is shemekha oine. Even if you just pay attention, you yotze. I don't know how strong a kasha it is, Shemei Akainu, that's B'dievet, but B'l'chatir is supposed to answer Amen. It wasn't such a strong kasha. And then the Gemara also says that the Bracha Seklolis had the status of a Shvur. So by Shvur, there is no such thing, Shemei Akainu. If someone else says a Shvur, if I say Amen, means Gamani, Mekarelis HaShvur. But if I don't say, by Akirish and Abdul, he says Shemei Akainu. By Shvu, I don't think he says Shemek Kainu. You have to say Amen. But Rav Soloveitchi posed it as a kasha. Why by the brachas the klolas? Why does it say 11 times? Everybody says Amen. Why don't you just be sad? Like Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, you don't say Shemek Kainu. You have to say it mamish. Kiddush and Abdullah is not a dover shel tzipa. You can even kaim it privately. But since brachas and klolas hagris ma'arev with davish al tzipa, so you need ambira mamish. He thought that that perhaps was the beer in the shita saramam. Why the Rambam, the Hagos Maimini points out in Hachas Tvila, the Rambam seems to have rejected the Bahag. The Rambam was familiar with the Bahag's opinions. Every so often he quotes the Bahag. Sometimes he agrees, sometimes he disagrees. Here he left it out. So it sounds like the Rambam disagrees with the Bahag. Why? So Rav Soloveitchik thought because answering Kaddish Kedusha in Baruch Hu is a Dovish al Tzibur, it's a Dovish in Bikdusha, so you wouldn't say Shemei Kaina. It's a Chiddush. You wouldn't say Shemei Kaina. By Bikurim also, there's a question whether you say Shemei Kaina. The Rabbi Tzalo Vilna was the older brother of Rabbi Shlomo Vilna. He was the super genius. Shlomo Vilna was a genius, and his older brother was a super genius. So they were Kohanim. So Rabbi Tzalo Vilna put out one sefer that's called Reishis Bikurim. He planned that this is going to be the first sefer of more than one. Turns out that's the only sefer that he ever put out. So in that sefer, he writes that he once visited Trieste in Italy. And when they heard that he was a Kohen, they were mechabed him that he should duchen. They duchen every day there. So what do you mean mechabed me? All the Kohanim are going to duchen. Says, yeah, but they have a practice that only the mechabed one Kohen to say the psukim yirecha Hashem yishmarecha. The other Kohanim just stand there and they don't say anything. They just yotze with Shemek Kohenim. So he started to wonder where they get this one from. Does it make sense? Does not make sense? So he thought, and then he realized it's a Mishnah Megillah. It says beferish like that. It says, I forgot already, whoever davens something, so they should be mechabed him, he should duchen. What do you mean? If he's a kohen, all the kohen have to duchen. So he said, obviously the Mishnah has this takana, the mechabed one kohen to say all the psukim, yirecha shem yishmarecha, and everybody's yotze with shemei kohen. So he approves of the minhag in Trieste that only one kohen should say the duchen. He claims that that was the practice in the days of the Tanaim. And that's what the Mishnah Megillah is referring to. And he says, he's surprised that the Bavli, the Rishami, not in the Mefarshim and the Mishnah, nobody explains what it means in the Mishnah that the Mechabed, one person with the Duchenim, they should have explained what's going on. So the Beis HaLevi has there was a blank page in the Sefer on Chumash and Bereishis and Shmos. So the practice in Europe used to be whenever there was a blank page in a Sefer, they would write Kadesh Lala Hotzi Hani Yor Cholak, not to waste a blank page without printing the Ritter, so they would write more the Ritter. So the Beis HaLevi had one blank page, so he put four paragraphs unrelated to each other, unrelated to the whole Sefer, on Bereishis and Shmos. So this is one of the four paragraphs. He doesn't want to say where he saw it. He doesn't want to attack Rabbi Tzalo Vilna. So he says, but he saw in a sefer that came out recently, the late 1800s, that someone wrote that you say Shemei Kohenu by duchening, and he thinks that it's not correct. Shemei Kohenu, how can it be? But the din is duchening is supposed to say the kol rom. See, true, you say Shemei Kainim, how can you consider Kol Ram? He's not saying anything. It's even less than a whisper. He's not saying a word. So how can you consider that Kol Ram? So the Netziv, who for a period of time was the Kol Rosh Hashiva and Valojin with the Beis HaLevi, writes, the Netziv has in the Tshuvas, Meshav Dabi, has a Oris, has Tshuvas. Then he has at the end of Chelak Arachayim of the Meshav Dabi, he has a few Oris on the Arachayim, on the Shulchan Arachayim. So he has a horas in Mekuf Chavches about Duchening. He doesn't want to insult the Beis HaLevi, just like the Beis HaLevi didn't want to say whom he's attacking, Rabbi Tal Avilner. So he, the Netziv doesn't write. He says he saw recently in a Sefer that a big Talmud Chacham writes that you can't say Shemei Kainah by Duchening because you need Kol Ram. So he says he thinks that that's not correct because the Mishnah records that when the farmers used to bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, and most of the farmers were able to recite Arami Abu Dhabi. There was Avos Bikurim and Mikra Bikurim. And the Mishnah says, but not all the people knew Arami Abu Dhabi by heart, and they didn't bring a Sefer Torah. And you're not allowed to write less than a Sefer Sholem, so they couldn't show him in a Siddur or anything. So they would have Arami Abu Dhabi and Rosh Hashanah. They would have a tablet, a fancy tablet that had Aleph, 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 Arami, Arami, Bab, Mem, Vayeri, Mitzrayim. So the first pasuk is not so bad, I can remember that. But then the rest of the Rosh Hashanah, not everybody could remember how to figure out, could be able to figure out what the Rosh Hashanah stand for. So the Mishnah says they would have all the farmers stand online, and the first 10 farmers would rattle off Arami, Arami, they could read the Rosh Hashanah, and then the 11th guy doesn't know how to say it. So he would stand there like an idiot. He brought the Bikurim. He traveled hours and hours to come to Beis HaMikdash to bring the Bikurim. Then he doesn't know how to read Arami Abu Dhabi, so he would have somebody say it for him. So the Netziv in his Oris on Arachayim and the Meshav Dabi and the Tshuvas, he quotes that the Mefarshim on the Mishnah have two ways to read the Mishnah. Whether someone else read Arami Abu, someone else recited Arami Abu Dhabi and was Moitzi, the farmer which America, you know? They said, no, say after me, Arami Abu Dhabi, Arami Abu Dhabi, by Yerid Mitzrayim, Yerid Mitzrayim, he said after him. So according to some of the Rishonim, the other person would recite all the Arami Abu Dhabi, and the farmer would be Yotze, which is Mea Kohina, and the din is Arami Abu Dhabi, supposed to be Bikol Ram. The Vidya Maisa, we said, the first half he says Balachash, and the second half he says Bikol Ram. But the Bikurim, he's not bragging, he says Arami Abu Dhabi, he says everything Bikol Ram. So you see that Shemei Kohanim is considered Kol Ram. That's the Netziv's taina against the Beis HaLevi. He doesn't say whom he's disagreeing with, but that's what he taina. So he says that the explanation is not correct, but he thinks the din is correct. He's masking with the Beis HaLevi la'halacha that he can't apply Shemei Kohanim by duchening for a different reason. Just like the Ran on the Rif in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes from Talmud Yerushalmi that there are three exceptions to the rule, but we don't permit Shemei Kohanim. The one is by Kriya Shema. Everyone should be Mekabal HaMalchus Shemayim on his own. Shouldn't just sit there and the Chazan are going to say the Kriya Shema word for word. You're going to be Yotze with Shemei Kohanim. And the same thing by davening. It's not proper unless you don't know how to daven. So then that's why the Institute of Chazar Sashatzke de la Hotzis Mishen of Boki. And the same thing with the eating food. If you're eating the food yourself, you didn't ask the other person to eat an extra sandwich that he might say you. You're going to eat the sandwich yourself. So since you're going to eat yourself, so you should really say the bracha before and after on your own. And therefore, we don't allow Shemei Kohanim by brachas on food before and after food. The exception to the rule is everybody's eating at the table, hey, seibu. So then one person says, like on Shabbos and Yom, the one person says, I'm with everybody. I'd say, that's because the whole chabura was only in a schayf to offer one amoitzi. The whole chabura, when you bench mezumen in the days of the Gemara, only the mezamen would recite the whole bichas hamozim out loud, and the others wouldn't bench at all. They would all be yotzei. But that's what the observation can explain. The others are yotzei with amoitzi. The others are yotzei with the bichas hamozim. It's not based on Shemei Kohanim. We don't allow Shemei Kohanim by brachas on food. Since you're eating the food yourself, you have to say the bracha yourself. But it's rather based on the idea that that the whole kach tikna chachamim birchas hanenim, the chabur offers one hamotzi. By birchas hamozen is a din deraisa. Rasul Eichik thought maybe this is a din deraisa, that when you bench mezumah, the whole chabur offers one birchas hamozen. He thought that's a din deraisa, the answer of a certain kasha of the shach and the end of chosh and mishpat. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes achronim where the idea of bench and mizumen b'chabur is that a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. So Soloveitchik thought the Gemara has that rasha of a pasuk. Why should Yisumen tell me an asmachta? Rav Soloveitchik always used to assume that was his general attitude. When the Gemara has a din, any din we assume it's a din deraisa unless you have a real hoichacha from the Gemara that is the rabbanan. The Mishnah Berurah often goes with the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim always starts off the opposite. If the Gemara doesn't quote a Pasuk, then you assume it's only the Rabbanan. And yeah, if you have a Pasuk, then you have to figure out, is it a real drush or is it an Asmachta? But if the Gemara has no Pasuk, the Gemara just says it in no Pasuk, so the Mishnah Berurah will quote the Prima Gadim very often, Chelek Aleph. They'll assume that it's only a din the Rabbanan. So they should go with this assumed Faker. That any din that appears in the Gemara is a din deraisa, unless you have a real strong raya that it's only the rabban. So the Netziv writes, he thinks that Beis Halevi is right. He thinks that duchening is like davening. You're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give the person a bracha. So just like by davening, we don't allow Shemei Kaina. That's one of the three exceptions to the rule. So to by duchening, you shouldn't allow Shemei Kaina.
What do they do with the Rabbanan?
That's what the Netziv. I don't know. They don't explain the Mishnah. That's what Abshalom is out. That's what Rabbi Tzal done. He quotes this Mishnah and nobody explains what it means. So the only pshat he knows is based on this meaning that they had in Trieste. He thinks they must have had that meaning in this man Mishnah. I don't know what you do with the Mishnah. I don't know. The Mishnah records that when the farmers would come to bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash and they would know how to recite the Rami Abi Rabi, that someone else would recite it for them, the Yotze which Me'akoina, they would say after them, whatever. So the Mishnah says, Nimnu Melohavi. A lot of farmers stop coming to bring, they should travel hours and hours and days to bring Bikurim and then be humiliated in public in the Beis HaMikdash. That the first people online can rattle off, they can figure out the Rosh Davis on the chart, Arami Abu Ravi, and they don't know how to figure it out. So they have to be embarrassed that someone's going to read the chart for them. So they stop bringing Bikurim. If you don't bring Bikurim, if you're not Mafish Bikurim, it's not going to be Tevil. So they just stop bringing Bikurim. So the Mishnah says, they made a takana bisman abayis. You don't allow anybody to say zon mikre bikurim. You always have someone else say for you. So that in later years, Tosis quotes, and apparently in the days of the Gaonim, they instituted the practice of having a balkori lane for everybody. Bisman agemara, the practice was whoever got the aliyah would lane. So some people would kill the whole aliyah. They didn't know how to read Hebrew without nekudas. They didn't know the drop. It was terrible. So then they would have a bakari lane on behalf of those who admitted that they don't know how to lane. A lot of times we have people go up to get an aliyah from after they kill the mafta, they kill the haftarah. They don't know how to read from a chumash. They don't know how to read with the kudas and with the drop. They don't know how. So in the days of the Gaonim, they instituted the practice that we have the Balkari, Kadesh Alolavayish, and Smisheni Adair. So Soloveitchik was insistent. A lot of times you have a Bar Mitzvah boy, so the Balkari lanes the whole Sedra, and then the Bar Mitzvah boy gets Maftir, and he lanes the Maftir. So Soloveitchik said it's against the Din. That's the Takanif in the days of the Gaonim, Kadesh Alolavayish, and Smisheni Adair. He shouldn't have anybody say his own Sedra. And then he said, and even if the Bar Mitzvah boy is going to lay the whole Seder from the beginning to the end, that's the minute the Balkari never gets an Aliyah, only the Teichacha. That's how Rav Soloveitchik read the Ramah. The Balkari only gets the Teichacha, because we shouldn't give the Teichacha to someone else. It'll look as if the Balkari is cursing him. Yak Hashem Shachafas, Shachafas of Akadach. It sounds as if he's cursing him. So the minute developed that the Balkari only gets, that's how Rav Soloveitchik, the Balkari only gets I remember once on Shabbos afternoon, they told me I should go daven by Rav Nebenzal, Mincha. So we daven Mincha, and Rav Nebenzal was the Balkari, and he took the second Aliyah. He's a Levi. So I mentioned to him after the davening that Rav Soloveitchik had this practice. He said, the minigi in the Ramah is that the Balkari never gets an Aliyah, only the Techech. He says, there is no such minig, and that's not Pshat in the Ramah. He didn't like it at all. I remember once years ago, I met Diane Grossner from London. So he was asking different psukim, different hayros, different minhagim for our salvation. So that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I told him that one, that the bar mitzvah boy can't lay in his own, even if he lays the whole parsha, shouldn't lay in his own aliyah, that he didn't go for that either. He thought in a big way, he didn't think that that was correct. But I have grandchildren, twin grandchildren. Those who were in Yeshiva this year, they had to go back on Purim. They had to read the Megillah on the plane because of COVID. So so when they were bar mitzvah a few years ago, so one read the first half of the Seder, the second one read the second half of the Seder. So each one got an aliyah and the other one leaned. If you have twin bar mitzvah boys, one is like half, so you can satisfy Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of the Rambam also. I didn't mention the connection with Bikurim. The Mishnah has a machlokes ha-tanoim, whether the mitzvah of Bikurim is like an Eva Hayarden. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were Mekadosh Eva Hayarden, and then they crossed into Eretz Yisrael. They were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. So Eva Hayarden had all the same, exact same dinim as Eretz Yisrael, with respect to Trumas and Maisus, Shemitah V'yayva, Lekad Shikhape, everything. Why? So the Mishnah has a machlokes. Well, the Bikurim is not an Eva Yadin. Why should it not be Noik? Reish Bikuri Ad Moscha Prat Lechutz Loretz. That's the Gemara in Baba Basa Daf Peyalef. Chutz Loretz is not Chayden Bikurim, but Eva Yadin is not Chutz Loretz. So one time in the Mishnah in Bikurim says no, but it says Eretz Ov is called the Bash. It says you bring the Bikurim. And it refers to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Abschol of Advash. So that's what the Mishnah says that here in Pasuk Tes, in chapter Havah, Pasuk Tes. So that's what one time says, Eber Yad is never described as Eretz Chol Advash, only Eretz Zayin Amimim. So one time holds all of Eber Yad, then is not Chayib and Bikurim. The other time, we don't pass like that. I don't think we pass like that. Then the other Tana, then Yerushalmi, there's another Tana who's a little bit like that. He says, when you look in the Psukim in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, when Reuven and Gad and Chatzis Shevet HaManasseh negotiated with Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't want to get a chelek on Eretz Mirehi, but Labadecha, they had a lot of tzon, a bokar, they had a lot of behemoths, so they needed a grazing area for the behemoths. So the psukim seem to imply that Reuven and God first made the request to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then when Chatzishevet HaManasseh saw that they're getting somewhere, so then they jumped on the bandwagon, and they also requested that they'd rather get here than in Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Reuven and God, they're not chayv in Bikurim. So it says, they requested it of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not by Yitan Lona, but Chatzis Shevet HaManasseh, since they didn't initiate the negotiations, they only jumped in later. So Eva Yarden, the Chelek of Chatzis Shevet HaManasseh and Eva Yarden would be Chayv and Bikurim. And the Chelek of Reuven and God would not be Chayv and Bikurim. But I don't think we accept those, but I think we pass on that Eva Yarden is Chayv and Bikurim. And the Rambam again over there. When the parasha has about brachas, what does it have here? Oy b'avichem sayardin takim savan emayla hagrizim and harei l'sartos and asid. Yeah. Then it was v'chasapta l'havan emeskaldi v'ateresos by her hateish. They should write the whole Torah Shibachsav. So it says in connection with the Hakomas Abonim and Hagrizim and Harevo, they should also, it should be done in the fashion of Simcha. So the Gemara understands when this person, so the Gemara says that there's a, on Pesach Shavuos Sukkis, The Gemara in the first paragraph of Chagiga quotes the Sefer Chagiga. Gimel Mitzvos Nitztav Yisrael Bali Yosem LaRegel. When Yisrael were early regel on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, they became obligated to bring three different types of karbonos: Ria Chagiga and Simcha. Ela Ria Shalmei Chagiga and Shalmei Simcha. So that's what the Gemara says: Eid Simcha Ela Bibsar Shlamim. And the way we read the Gemara, it's only. You only yotzei simcha if you have b'sar shlamim. B'sman she'ein beis hamikdash kayam, and the Gemara says there's no longer any b'sar shlamim, so the Gemara says himself and ain't simcha ela b'yayin. So the Mishnah Brura in Chelek Hei, when he has Hilchas Yontif, after Hilchas Pesach, so he quotes a machlokes achronim. What does that mean? B'sman she'ein beis hamikdash kayam, it's not enough with b'sar. But you have to have basar v'yayin, or do you say no? If it's not b'sar shlamim, so the b'sar chulin doesn't help at all, so you may as well have ilchiks. It only depends on yayin. His man is, it only depends on yayin, doesn't depend on basar. So the Mishnah Brura in the Bir Halacha comes to the conclusion, he thinks that the Reb Achronim all that bisman she'ein b'samigdush kayim, you only need yayin, you don't need basar at all. The common minig is most the Mishnah Brura claims most Achronim hold like that. When you learn Yeredeia, the first page in Yeredeia, they have the Ramah has a minig. And one is in a state, one is in the middle of Shiva, should not shecht, because you have to be relaxed when you shecht, not to make one of the psule shia drasa chalad agram rabiike. You have to be relaxed. Years ago, when Rab Soloveitchik used to give the hashgacha on the slaughterhouse in Boston, he encouraged them that they should organize a union and insist on better working conditions, because they used to make them work under tension. They told me that the shochtim had a daven mincha early on Shabbos afternoon and walked to the other end of town late in the afternoon on Shabbos. They had to be in the slaughterhouse 5 minutes after Tzeisach Kachov. So they had a daven ma'ariv outside of the slaughterhouse and be right away inside. And they had long hours. Rav Soloveitchik said it's not good to have a shechita when the shochtim are not relaxed. So he insisted they should organize a union and demand that they want better working conditions, easier to be more relaxed. So that's why people, the owners of the slaughterhouse, they say, were upset that Rav Soloveitchik, he was mafsed them a lot of money. He had to pay more money in order to that they should be more relaxed. So they wanted to take revenge from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So they assumed that none of the rabbis pay taxes on whatever salary they get from giving hashgachas. There were other rabbis in the Boston area who gave hashgachas who didn't pay tax on that. So they assumed the same is true of Rabbi Soloveitchik. So they massed him to the government, and there was an investigation going on for the longest time. And one of Rabbi Soloveitchik's children told me he remembers the way they announced in shul, next week Rabbi Soloveitchik will deliver the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, and the week after he will be sitting in prison. The people were so convinced that he was guilty because the papers kept on carrying this. And at that time, the commentator, the YU commentator also, the editor of the commentator, thought he was from Boston, and he wrote about this in the commentator, that how can they allow Rabbi Soloveitchik if he's a ganef, he's not paying tax. Then that whole court case that came out, the judge said, they quoted in the newspaper, I never met such an honest man in my life. He overpaid on his taxes. He declared everything that he got from the slaughterhouse. He overpaid on taxes.
So Rabbi?
Yes.
Hey, does Rabbi feel the halacha, therefore, that on, let's say, on Yom Tov, there is a chiyuv to have basar on Yom Tov? I remember that Shagat Ari has a tshuva on this, but I don't want to know where we hold the halacha, whether it's, we should be mocked for it or not.
Right. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the machlokes achronim b'zman she'ein beis hamikdashkayim, do you just need yayin or do you need basar v'yayin? He thinks that Reb Achronim hold you just need yayin. You don't need basar v'yayin. It's probably a mitzvah of kibud v'yonik. So oinik requires you should serve whatever the people enjoy. So if people enjoy milchiks better than fleshiks, so then you can have milchiks. Simchas yontif, if you hold, you really need basa. So that's what many poskim hold. The simcha, you have to eat the basa, even if you're choking on it, even if you don't enjoy it, you have to have basa b'yayin. Simcha is determined objectively, and Einig is established subjectively. Whatever you personally enjoy, that's called Einig. So when you learn Yerideya, the first page on Amud Beis and Yerideya, so the Rambam quotes such a minig that one is in the middle of Shiva Shud Meshech because he's not going to be relaxed, and he may not do a good job. But if it's Yantif, and there's no one else around, so you have to Shech, you have to have flesh for Yantif. So there's even a machlokes there. You look on the bottom of the page, the tiny letters, the Yad Ephraim and the Yad Avraham. I already forgot who it is. Different Achrayim have a machlokes. What if there's one shechet that knows how to shecht chickens, and the shechet who shechts behemoth is in Shiva? So when you have Ein Simcha v'Basar, does it mean Bisar Behema? Or is it even good if it's Bisar Oif? So some Achrayim hold that on Yom Tov you have to have Basar B'yai and even Bisman Hazeh. It has to be Bisar Behema. You're not Yotze if it's just chicken. On Shabbos, there is no din of Simcha. It's just the din of Einik. So Einik, if you enjoy chicken, is fine. But on Yom Tov, where there's a din of Simcha, so many hold that Yom Tov, the definition of Simcha is determined. There's an objective standard. You need Basar B'yayin. So you have to have Dafke Bisar Behema. Some Achrayim hold that by wedding, you have to have Basar B'yayin. The Maram Shik has such a tshuva. That by wedding you have to have basa b'yayin shever brachas also. It's a suda shel simcha. You can have a milchik shever brachas. The whole idea of having a suda is because there's a chiyab simcha. So the way to celebrate the simcha is in simcha le b'basa b'yayin. You have to have basa b'yayin. By bris mila also, somehow you only yotzei if you have a fleshig meal by bris mila. Because the bris mila, the suda by the bris, is based on the pasuk sasanach et emasach gemoyte sholo rav. And the Gemara says that that pasuk refers to bris mila. David HaMelech, wherever he went, he was always doing mitzvahs. He always had mitzvahs with him until he went to the Beis HaMerchat. So he didn't have any mitzvahs with him. And how about a thing of learning? Then he realized he has the bris mila with him all the time. So he said with great excitement, he has the bris mila with him all the time. So you see that in connection with bris mila, there's an union of simcha. The suda by Pidyon HaBen, that's just a note to give cover to the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. It looks secular. You just give money to someone, give money to the Kohen. That's the whole story. But by Bris Mila, it's an Indian of Simcha. So because of Simcha, that's why Magen Avram in Hilchas Erev Shabbos quotes that it's not proper to have a suda chashuva on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says that there were families who were wiped out completely at the time of Churban HaBayis. Because he used to make big parties on Erev Shabbos. And the Magen Avraham says, it's not right to have fleshig on Erev Shabbos because you're going to have Suda Shabbos, Leil Shabbos, Friday night, you're going to have fleshig. You're going to have fleshig on Erev Shabbos. It takes away from the Oinig Shabbos. But if you have it for lunch, then you're going to have the same thing for supper. That's not right. So the Magen Avraham quotes that the Shalom had two rabbeim. When there would be a bris on a Friday morning and they would serve fleshig, so one of the rabbeim of the shalom would stay to the bris, wouldn't stay to the suda, the other one would stay to the suda. So that's an issue whether the suda's bismillah really needs basar or not. That's a shayla and din.
So, when Shulchan Aruch says that on Shabbat a person should try to have basar and yain, that's not an objective chiyuv, that's more of a subjective thing.
Right, it says if a person enjoys fasting more than eating, so let him fast on Shabbos, that'll be his einig. I haven't met those people yet, but apparently there are some people who enjoy fasting better than eating, so they can fulfill einig Shabbos by fasting. And Yom Tov, it doesn't say it like that. And Yom Tov, that's a suffix in the Ramah, suffix in the Ramah, the Dark Emotion. Would you say the same regarding Simchas Yom Tov? Also established, it's determined subjectively or no. So we usually assume not so. So Simcha is determined objectively and Einig is determined subjectively. Then the Pasuk has Moshe Rabbeinu encourages Bnei Yisrael Haskesu Shema Yisrael. So the Gemara in the end of Brachas quotes a comment on the Pasuk that this Haskes is telling us something crucial with respect to the Derech HaLimud. First, when you learn, you don't start analyzing right away. First, you have to cover all the material. Has, that's the question. How the Torah Tamimah talks about that, but that's what the Gemara says. First, cover all the dinim, and then cut base. Then you dissect it, and you cut it down to its you dissect it to its basic components. That's what I mentioned yesterday. I gave a shiur. It was the eighth shiur in this year that we're learning Sochim. So I discussed the Tosfos on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. I said a few years ago when the yeshiva sent me to Eretz Yisrael, so they sent me for Thanksgiving because the people in the admissions office are experts in determining when parents are going to be visiting Eretz Yisrael. So they decided in their infinite wisdom that more parents come during Thanksgiving weekend. So they said, you have to have Rabbi Shechter give the shiurim in Eretz Yisrael Thanksgiving weekend so the parents will listen to the shiur, so we'll attract more students. How do they know? I'll chase away the students. They think I'll attract more students. So they sent me Thanksgiving weekend. That's already at least 3 months into this month. And in that particular yeshiva, they were just up to Dalet Amud Beis after 3 months. So that's not a way to learn. You're supposed to learn, cover all the ground, cover all the dinim, and then you start analyzing. You don't analyze because if you have one din, there's nothing to analyze. If you have two dinim that seem to contradict each other, two halachas contradict, then you have to start analyzing. How come this, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule? But you only learn one din, there's nothing to analyze. When you learn, we're supposed to be interested in hearing what the Gemara is telling us. Now we should tell the Gemara what they should have said. We're going to analyze. We're going to tell the Chachmei HaGemara what they should have said. We should pick up what they're telling us. The Panav Yisharov learned in Radin by the Chafetz Chaim. And he mentioned to the Chafetz Chaim, he was interested in visiting by Rab Chaim to pick up something from Rab Chaim's derech. So the Chafetz Chaim recommended to him he shouldn't go in the winter when Rab Chaim is at risk because he's a rabbi in the community and he's busy all day and all night with Tzorchei Tzibur. He won't have any time to talk to you on learning. You should go when Abraham goes on vacation. Find out where he's going on vacation. So there he's not Isaac, but Tzorchei, so he'll be able to talk to him and learn. So he found out where Abraham was going and he went to meet him where he was on vacation. So as it turns out, Abraham got a telegram that one of his daughters was having a difficult labor and he was going to leave that day. He wasn't going to stay. So Rav Kahneman felt bad. So he told Rav Chaim, he came especially to talk and learn. So Rav Chaim said, okay, we'll talk a little bit in learning, but not too much, not going to be too much. So Rav Chaim said, tell me a Devar Torah. He told him one Devar Torah. Then he said, tell me another Devar Torah. He told him another, a third one, a fourth one. And he didn't give any comment. So then when he said that the third, the fourth Devar Torah, so when Rav Kahneman was saying over the Devar Torah, so he said, the Gemara says X, Y, Z. How did the Gemara know that that's true? So he was going to give the hechrach. So Rav Chaim stopped him and he said, in Yiddish, you don't ask how did the Gemara know. The Gemara knew because the Gemara knew. You can ask, what does that indicate? The Gemara tells us something. What does that indicate? Okay, but you can't ask a question, how did the Gemara know? The Gemara gave us, the Gemara gave us. The Gemara knew. That's the only thing he heard from Rav Chaim learning. So years later, he felt that he was a Talmud of Rav Chaim because he heard that one comment from Rav Chaim. You don't ask, how did the Gemara know something? You say, what do you see from this Gemara? Yeah, we live in where it means we're going to tell the Gemara what they should have said. We're going to analyze all the din. We're going to tell them what they should have said. We should pick up the Gemara's terminology. Shouldn't invent our own terminology. So has hakach kates. You only dissect and break it down to its component parts. You have to know all the dinim. You put everything together. Usually, if you put everything together, you don't even have to analyze. A lot of times on kachim, you look in the sasanis and the keren oira and the biskarov and the chazanish. A lot of times they all say exactly the same thing because they all have on the one hand is one gemara, another gemara, another gemara. There's only one halach. You have to go this mouth. You have to put everything all together. If you would only learn one Gemara, you can say 10 different Mahalachim. But if you put all Gemaras together, then a lot of times you're only left with one Mahalach. There's only one correct way to read Pshat on the Gemara. Tosis and Seita quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi on the last one of the Klolus, the 11 Arurim. So the last one is Ora Shaliyakim is Divat Torah Hazais. So the Yerushalmi says it refers to the one who does Hagba, if he doesn't pick it up properly. Chiyesh Torah no fellas. What do you mean, Ora Shaliyakim? What does he have to pick up the Torah? When he does Hagba, he has to pick it up. So the Ramban Chumash writes that that's not Pshuto Shal Mikra. The Ramban thinks that's an additional level of interpretation. Think Pshuto Shal Mikra means if the Melech of Eretz Yisrael, if the government of Eretz Yisrael, or the one who the head of the yeshiva has the opportunity to be marbit Torah Barabim, to get the people to be more observant. So that's Baruch HaShayokim, as the Rat Torah says, he sees to it that more people will be religious, is marbit Torah Barabim. And if a person had the opportunity to do something, and he didn't seize the opportunity, that's Ora Shaliyakim. He didn't seize the opportunity to be Marbit Torah Barabim. But the Gemara said as an additional, the Yerushalmi said as an additional level of interpretation, that it goes on, the one who does Hagba should do Hagba properly. So the Gemara has an expression, the Gemara says, Hagolo, the Gemara Megillah, that whoever gets an Aliyah is Neitel Schar, you get reward. But Hagolo Miltos Char Keneged Kulam. In the days of the Gemara, Hagban Glila was done by the same person. So we assume that the main part of the Hagban Glila is really the Hagba, not the Glila. So the Gemara says the Golo, the one who does the Hagban Glila, Miltos Char Keneged Kulam, he gets more reward than all the people who got an Aliyah. I remember a few summers I learned in Brooklyn in Miri Yeshiva when I was in high school. So the Rosh Yeshiva got Hagba 3 days a week, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, every time there was a Kriyas HaTorah. Bavram Kalmanovich, he used to call him the Rav. He used to walk home from the yeshiva on King's Highway. He said, it's called King's Highway because the Rav walks. They have such derech eretz. Rav Kalmanovich, because the Rav walks home on King's Highway. And he used to have one of the boys would carry this svarim for him. His name is Aram, and the boy's name is Eliezer. They used to call him Eliezer Eved Aram. Eliezer Eved Aram carries this svarim for the Rosh Yeshiva. So he used to take Hagba 3 days a week. The Hagabia Nertel Schakenegakum. Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe the reason why we consider the Hagba as the more important Aliyah is because that's the one that has an Asachta in the Chumash. That's how the Yerushalmi in the middle of you have the brachas, the klolus. So first you have the brachas, then you have the klolus. So in the middle of the klolus, it says, "Kimcha Hashem lo pasuk tes in chapter chav ches and shishi, Kimcha Hashem lo liyam kodesh v'halachta bedrachov." So the Rambam considers that one of the most important mitzvahs. It's in the beginning of the mitzvahs. Say one of the first 5 to 10 mitzvahs, halach bedrachov, to imitate the ways of God. Why should one imitate the ways of God? Sometimes a little girl imitates a mommy. She puts on a big bonnet and she wears high heels and she speaks like the mother. She gives patch to the younger children. She screams at the younger children. She thinks that's the definition of a mommy. The little girl someday will probably be a mommy. So she makes believe a little boy acts as if he's a doctor. So he puts on a stethoscope and takes your blood pressure, he takes your heartbeat, whatever. Someday maybe he will become a doctor. So it makes sense what he's imitating. Other people, a lot of little boys like to imitate the engineer on the train, that he punches everybody's ticket to show that you paid for the trip. So a little kid, someday maybe he will become an engineer on a train. Okay, maybe he will work on a train. Well, why should we imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is there any half a minute we're going to take over for him? So the answer is no. It's not that we're imitating his way, someday we'll take over. And we're not acting, we're not imitating to make believe as if we are someone whom we are not. We were all created the Tzelem Elokim, so the Rebbe Shlom instructs us, we should preserve that Tzelem Elokim that we have already within us. Then the pasuk continues, when all the nations of the world will see that we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Elokim, Yishem Hashem, Nikra Alecha, that we have succeeded in preserving the Tzelem Elokim, the Yoru Mimeko, they will learn from us how they can act with Yerushalayim also, because they were also created by Tzelem Elokim. But they still have a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim, which we call Barim Lamakim, Baru Ol Yom Yisraelim. That's Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, Chaviv Adam Shalevi B'Tzel, Chaviv Yom Yisrael Shalikru Barim Lamakim. So some of the Rishonim learn Chaviv Adam only goes on Adam Arishim. doesn't go, and it's in the Inyan Eliki, that Salam Alekim only transmitted from Adam Rishon to one of his children, Adam Shei Senesh Kein Mahalala Yered Olavidan Kel Avram Yitzchak and Yankel. Yankel is Mitosu Shlema. So then the Midah of Salam Alekim applied to all the children, and the Umasalam don't have Salam Alekim. That's what it sounds like from the Guzari. But the other Mepharshim don't seem to learn like the Guzari. They learn Chaviv, but the mankind was created with Salam Alekim. So that's why they quote from the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Aliyah. They quote, "V'alachta b'drocha, we should preserve the Tzalam Elokim that we were created with. V'ro kalam ha'aretz k'shem Hashem nikra lechem, and all the nations of the world will see the Bnei Yisrael is supposed to act as a ner ner or lagoyim." The Navi Yeshaya says it was supposed to be an or lagoyim, a light unto the nations of what area? Not in Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras, Hamishpacha. That's only for Bnei Yisrael, means a light unto the nations in this area. That we have succeeded in preserving our Tzalam Elokim, they can do the same. The Yorim and Mecca, they will learn from you how they too can act with Yira Shemayim. That's Rambam considers that one of the more important mitzvahs. Then we have the Brachas of Klolos, the Tarechecha. The Gemara says, Ezra made a takana, Ezra made the 10 takanas, and what takana was, we should lain the Tarechecha in the Chukosai, second Shabbos before Shavuos, and later Tarechecha in Kisav, the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. The idea behind it being Tiflan Shana Kilav Seha, Tochel Shana Birchay Seha. We should get rid of all of the curses. In the middle of the Klolos, the Pasuk says, Lasishman the Yeras Hashem Alakech, the Yifla Shana Smakoyscha. So the Gemara has a din in the first parak in Temura that Gemara Makos has a lab shema maisa in Loikim Olav. And there were three exceptions to the rule. It's nishba meima mekala chaver b'shem. If a person swears shva sheker, he gets malchus. Let's say he swears that he doesn't owe money, and it turns out that he does owe money. So then we give him malchus. Nishba meima, one who says harizu tmura tachazu, he makes tmura. Vishnu says sofik is harboim. And mekala chaver b'shem, if he curses someone. So the Ravid in the Hasogas on the Rambam writes that you only get Malkus if he's Galach Haver B'Shem Amfurish. If he pronounces the Yud Kei Vav Kei, if he pronounces the Shem Amfurish, what is it based on? So Velvel Asalavetchik has a suggestion in his Sefer. Apparently he didn't have a good Gemara. We have the Gemara Shvuah, so we have the Rif in the end. So sometimes you have the Ravid printed on the bottom of the page, sometimes the Ravid is printed in the back of the Rif. So we have in all the standard Gemara Shavuos, you have the Rif, and you have the Ravid printed the page after the Rif is all over. The Ravid says black and white, but Rav Dovah Soloveitchik was explaining in the Ravid that the Gemara learns that each one of these. How do you know the Nishba Meim and Kal Chaver B'Shem? How do you know the Eloike? It should really be a lab shame on Maisa, because there's no Maisa. It's only you violated the Aver Aide Diba. You didn't violate Aide Maisa. So how do you know that there's Malchus? So the Gemara says, if you'll use the Shem Hamfor, Shem Hanichba Vanoira, to curse someone, then it says, V'hifal Hashem is makoyscha haflozu eini dem mahu. And then the Gemara says, it says, V'hipila Hashem for the call of Panik, V'hifal Hashem is makoyscha, means you give Malkus. So the Malkus is only because L'hiras Hashem Hanichba Vanoira, because you use the Shem Hamforish to be Mikalach Aver B'Shem. So that's what the Ravid himself says. That's what the Ravid writes explicitly. But the Ravid on the Hasogas didn't explain it. But the Ravid in the back of the Rif, it's printed. So he writes exactly what Rav Dovah Soloveitchik suggested. In the middle of the Brachas of Klolos, the Pasuk says, one of the Brachas is Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. So the Gemara towards the Teis in Bava Metzia, the Gemara has an interpretation of the pasuk. Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, Kishem Shebiyoscha La'olam B'Lochet, just like when you were born without any sin, Kach Yitzioscha Min Olam should be B'Lochet. So too, when you die, you should die without doing any chet. So the Rashash has a famous comment on the Gemara. There are people who believe in Gilgal Neshamas, that sometimes the Rebbeinu Shalom brings a soul back into life in this world because this neshama did averis in the past and it needs a tikkun. So the neshama has to come back sometimes, more than once, sometimes many times, until it does a tikkun for that aver that it did. So in such a case, you can't really say kishem shebiyoscha lo'olam b'lochet kach It's Yaschem in the Olam Shadi Below Chet, who says that when he was Bolo Olam, he was Below Chet. So the Rashash writes a comment, Nikan Ktsas Stira Nebale HaGilgal. This Gemara seems to be a bit of a contradiction to those who believe in Gilgal. What is Gilgal Neshamas? Is that really an Iker in our religion? So in the days of the Ran, one of the great Gedolim was Rav Chisdoy Kreskes. We have a book, Or Hashem, on philosophy, on Hashkofa by Chisdoy Kreskes, and Shittim Gubetz quotes him once in a while. I think the Ran writes that he was the God Lader in learning, not the God Lader in philosophy. He was the God Lader in learning. So Rav Chisdoy Kreskes has in his Sefer Or Hashem, he has a whole section, what do we believe? What does our religion believe in? What are the Ikar Emuna? What do we not believe in? And what is optional? Like, what is the distance of the sun from the earth? That's not part of our religion. Whatever you calculate, okay, whatever happens to be. So he lists off the belief in Gilgal Neshamas as one of the things, maybe and maybe no. It has nothing to do with our religion. Maybe that's where the Ribbono Shel'Olam set up the world, maybe not. It's not for Nikari Emuna. Those who believe in Gilgal Neshamas, because of our emphasis, a lot of kashas, why do little babies suffer? So sometimes they say because the soul of the baby sinned in a previous Gilgal, and the Ribbono Shel'Olam brings them back, that he should get Yisurim to be Mechapa for the Averus that he did earlier. But this is a teretz on a kasha. But there are no really sources in the Tanakh or in the Gemara that indicate that there's such a thing as Gilgal Neshamas. I used to be friendly with Rabbi Mala Galinsky. Rabbi Mala Galinsky, Zichrono Levracha, used to be the head of the, he used to work in the Jewish agency. And when they sent all the students to Eretz Yisrael for a year, they all had to go through him. And then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was head of the American program in Shalavim for many years. Then he passed away at a young age. He passed away. So he, for a while, he used to live in, forgot the name of the section in Yerushalayim. Then, before he passed away, he moved to Givat Shaul. He used to live in Givat Shaul. So he said he had a neighbor who was a descendant from a Chassidish Rebbe from 200 years ago, over 200 years ago, the early Chassidish Rebbe's. He has a manuscript from his ancestor. He says he can't believe that it's true. This Chassidish Rebbe from over 200 years ago writes, when the Dor HaMidbar died and they went to heaven, so the Bezalel Shalmaila said they're going to punish them. Why they refused to go there? No, I'm still muted, Ma. I'm still muted.
We can hear Abby.
Muted.
We can hear Abby now.
Can you hear me? Thank you. Okay. So this acquaintance of this friend of his says he can't print this manuscript because people say it's a forgery. Why? Because it says there when the Dor HaMidbar went to heaven, they were arguing back and forth with the Rosh Hashanah. How did he know? I was like, Baruch HaKadosh. They were arguing back and forth. Yes, the Ribbono Shel'Olam, let us come back to this world, and there'll be Misakan Avera that they did. Back and forth, back and forth. Finally, the Ribbono Shel'Olam made a pshara. He said, okay, I'll let you come back as a Gilgal Neshama on the condition that you only do one mitzvah only. The mitzvah of Yeshua Eretz Yisrael. So who could imagine such a thing? That there were such secular Jews, anti-religious Jews, who only did one mitzvah? The mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, making Hakamas HaMedina, giving their lives for the Medina, giving their lives. If they didn't believe in Torah Menashe Mayim, what are they giving their lives to have a Hakamas HaMedina for? So he said he's afraid to print the sefer. They'll say that it's a forgery, but they held that there is such a thing as Gilgal Neshamas. There's a pasuk towards the end of the Teichicha that says, "Gam kocholiv hamakar shalok kosam aseifat ha'azos yala Hashem alecha." I already forgot. Pasuk towards the end. So the people say that there's a medrash that says, "Kam kochol amaka, amaka shelok suva batoira." That's zu misa sadikim. That refers to misa sadik. So the yestis, the Reisha Rav, was Rabban Levine. His grandson used to be the head of economics in yeshiva. He died at a very young age. He was my first cousin. So the yestis grandfather, Reisha Rav, was killed by the Nazis in the middle of the war. The rabbi in Reisha. Reisha is where the airport is. There's an airport in Reisha. It's a bigger city than other cities. And I remember when we were touring in Poland, we left back to America. We took the plane from Reisha. So the Reisha Rav has an essay for the Yestim. Where is the marker of this medrash? He says, this medrash is also a marker shalok suva batar. It doesn't say anywhere. Then he has a whole list of other famous comments that people attribute to Mamor Chazal that don't appear anywhere to the best of his knowledge. But this is one of them, this one that he goes as Zomis and Sadiqim. There really is no such medrash. The Vada Rabbonim of Warsaw once announced in Yiddish newspapers, there were quite a few Yiddish newspapers in Europe before the war. So they announced that no one should go use any other sefer other than the sefer who are approved by the Vada Rabbonim. These are the reliable sofrim. And any other sefer was not approved by the Vada Rabbonim is Masik Gvul and then Hasogas Gvul, if you take away someone's panos. So one of the Rabbonim got all upset. Masik Gvul was only for steel kark and Eretz Yisrael. Why do they call this Masik Gvul? In Yiddish, everybody says, when you ruin someone else's panasi, being Masik Gvul, I take away the other person's customers. So Meir Don Plotsky was the head of the Vada Rabbanim. He's the one who wrote the Kli Chemda and Chumash. Had a lot of charifas. The Polish Gedolim had a lot of charifas. So he published a whole Dvar Torah where he writes that you see from a Rashi and Sanhedrin that the 11 Arurim must be adding something over and above what are the, all of these psukim say already, that you're not allowed to make Avodah Zorah. So must be something added here. Every person must be adding. What's the Rashi and Sanhedrin? The Gemara has machloikas by Isha Ubito, one who is Boal Isha Ubito, says, Ba'eshi Srefu Oso V'yashen, that they both get Srefa. Eshen. Both the Isha and the Bito, why do they both get Sreifa? He's married to his wife, so she doesn't deserve Sreifa. The daughter, if the daughter is Mizana with the husband, then there's Sreifa, but not if the wife herself is allowed to live with her husband. So Gemara, why does it say SN, Eshtayen? So the Gemara says that, let's say he's married to the daughter. And he's mezana with the mother-in-law. So we pass like Rabbi Akiva that chamosa lachamisa sishta. There's no sreifa. So the Gemara says that's why it says eshen eshtehem only when the wife is still alive. He's allowed to live with his wife, but if his wife is no longer alive, then chamosa lachamisa sishta. There's no sreifa. That's how the Gemara says. So Rashi writes even though there's no sreifa, but there is a lav. Because Orch Shochevim Chosanto. So you see from Rashi understood Orch Shochevim Chosanto is adding on something over and above what it says in the other parsha. So that's what Rav Meir Don wrote. He thinks that the same must be true regarding all the Yud Aleph Arurim. And that's why he quotes that many use that Malitza, not to be Masik Vul on someone else's Parnasa. They mean, based on the Pasuk here, Or Masik Vul Reyehu. The real din, La Sasagura Yachem and Alfas Shatincha, only refers to Silin Kark and Eretz Yisrael. But what's added on over here is not even to be Masigul, to take away someone else's parnos. It's an interesting suggestion. So then you have to look through all the 11 Arurim. What is each one of the psukim adding on? Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos. We should all be healthy. Believe that on Sunday we will continue the Shir at regular time. Everyone should be well.
Yeah, I was
trying. Sure.